Tonight we're going to be a couple different places, but Ephesians chapter 6 is where we're going to land, I guess, in a moment. But actually, when I first started praying like last Monday over this message, I had in my heart that it was going to be this morning's message. And I felt like it was going to be this evangelistic message that was going to be, you know, designed in my mind, and that just tells you that it's not up to me. But I had it that it was going to be Sunday morning, and it was going to be a message for the congregation. And God just kind of laid this morning's message on my heart. And when He did, just as soon as I went back and looked over this, I thought, no, this is Sunday night. This is what you need to hear. And I say you, but meaning me. This is what I need to hear. Because we're going through struggles, and I know that you've heard before, sometimes Sunday night is like preaching to the choir type of a deal, but the choir needs preached to. I don't know any other way to say it, that we all need, and this is not an evangelistic message anymore. I don't know where that went, but it's one of those messages that God just kind of laid on my heart that, don't miss this. Preach it for yourself because you need this too. And so let's pray real quick. Father, I thank you so much for the way that you showed me, you guide me, you teach me, and Lord, you humble me. And I thank you for that. I thank you for all you do and for never giving up on me. I lift up your word to you, and I thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. Like I said, we'll be eventually in Ephesians 6, 10 through 20, the armor of God. But as I was going over that this week, I always go back to, anytime I think about the armor of God, I go back to David when he's fighting Goliath. And you know the story of when Saul puts his armor on David. And you see this boy walking around in this man's armor. And I love David's comment, and each translation is a little bit different, but it says that when he put on the armor, he used says Saul clothed David with his armor, and he it says that he strapped him with it, and the sword he strapped the sword over the armor, and he tried in vain to go, and he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, "I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them." And some translations will say, not tested, I've not proven them, I'm not used to them. But David is saying, not only do they not fit, because that was always my first thought, is here's this young man, and he's trying to put on Saul, this king's armor. And I think, well, of course it doesn't fit. But this week, as I read that, and as I'm praying over it and studying over it, and not only does it not fit, I haven't tested it. I'm not familiar with this. I can't go into battle with something that I'm not familiar with. And I think about what David chose to go into battle with. He chose four things that he went into battle with that he was familiar with. One we know was the sling. One we know was the staff. We know that he chose five stones, and the thing that is most important is the power of God. And he went into battle with those four things. And I've had people ask me over the years, why did he choose five stones? Does anybody know? If you do, that's great, because it doesn't say in the Bible. But this week, as I'm praying over this, and I'm wanting to come up with some theological reason of why David chose five stones. And I'm praying, God, is there anything in this? Because I don't want to pull something out of this that's not there. I don't want to just try to make something of this. And this was the thought that came to my mind. Now, I'm not saying this is what David's reason was for choosing five stones, but God said, do you just memorize one verse? And I thought, okay, I'll take it at that. You know, that I'm not going to go into battle memorizing one verse. So he went into battle with more than one stone. Maybe that's the reason. I don't know. But because of what God had laid on my heart with this passage, He went in with the sling, the stones, the staff, and the power of God. And he was familiar with all four. And so, if we think about what he went into, here's this young man, and he's fighting this guy, and I looked it up, and it says that he was, I'll go back and get it again, he was 6 cubits in a span, and depending on how you look that up, if you translate it, it's somewhere, the one that I come up with today, and they vary anywhere between 9 feet and 11.35 feet. That's a big man. And here's David going out there against him. And I thought, man, how hard would that have been? But I thought, you know, one thing that he has advantage over us, yeah, he's familiar with everything he goes into battle with. Sometimes we're not. He could see who he was fighting. As we go into Ephesians chapter 6, it tells us that you can't see and I can't see who we are really fighting. I can't throw a stone at who I'm fighting. That is where we're at. But when we come to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, let's start there. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His strength, in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. And so we know, first of all, that we are to be strong in the Lord. And for most of us, sometimes we set out with every intention of being strong in the Lord, and then we get to the point where I start depending on my strength, my knowledge, my attitude, my abilities, and I try to go into battle knowing that when I get up tomorrow morning, I'm going to be going into battle against Satan, and I take the things that I know, I take the things that I'm familiar with, and I go into that battle. But he says here, be strong in the Lord and in His might. In His mighty power, that's how I'm supposed to be strong. In His strength, in His might, that's what I'm supposed to do. Verse 11 says, put on the whole armor of God. And I've heard sermons over just the word whole, on the whole armor of God. But too many times we don't go in with the whole armor. We just put part of it on. And so, as he says, put on the whole armor, I didn't want to focus on whole, but what God really jumped out to me, he says, the armor of God. Not the armor of Steve. Not the armor of religion. Not the armor of faithfulness. The armor of God. It's His armor. It's not Saul's armor. It's not something that is the best of the best that was out there because he was the king. It is the armor of God. And so we are to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. As we talk, as you read through the Bible, and I read this week, I don't remember where I read it, but it said, you know, throughout the Bible, it tells us to run with perseverance. It tells us to do so many things, to be active in sharing our faith and to be on the advance or on the offense in so many ways. But when you're battling Satan, it never tells you to run at him. It says here, we're to stand. Don't chase him. Stand. Put on the armor so that you may stand. That you will be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. It doesn't ever say to chase him, and it doesn't ever say to retreat. It says to stand. And I read something in this week that I want to share with you in just a minute as we get to that point that has to do with that. But it's the schemes of the devil. It says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, like David could see his Goliath. We see things that we think we're wrestling against. Oh, well, I can deal with that person's comments, or I can deal with that person's attitude. Those are just part of the schemes. We are dealing with that enemy that it's going to tell us about, and we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, not just the privates, the sergeants, the rulers. We're going against even the top. The rulers, against the authorities. Again, this is not the subordinate person. This is the authorities that are out there. Against the cosmic powers over this present darkness. We talk about the darkness that we live in this world, and sometimes we get to the point, and I know that I'm guilty of this too, that we get into the attitude of saying, man, our world is going downhill, and if God doesn't do something quick, you know, we think it's a hopeless cause. Our world is a hopeless cause. But our God says something different. He is doing exactly in His perfect timing what He wants to do. Now, is our world, the society we live in, is it great? No, it's not. But it is exactly how God is allowing it to be. And has He stepped and pulled away from it? No, He has not. He has you and me. He indwells us with His Spirit, and He has us where He wants us. We talked about it earlier, some of us, about our days are numbered. The day that I'm going to pass away is numbered, but the day that I was born was numbered too. And the time that I'm here for a reason. The time that you're here for a reason. And God has us that we are going to deal with the darkness that we're born into. And the fact that this world is darker just means you and I need to be a lot brighter light. We can sit back and we say, oh, well, but they've got everything and it's all going against us. I've got God. I don't need what they've got. I need to allow the light of God to shine in that darkness. That's what I'm fighting against. And have you ever seen darkness win over light? I don't care how dark you got this sanctuary. You flip on one light, light wins. I don't care how dark it is out there in the world. The world may see that they win. But if you are the light of Jesus Christ, He wins. That's what it comes down to. That's what we're fighting against. But we see the darkness when the important thing is they see the light. So as we get ready to battle, and we're supposed to be strong in the Lord, and He tells us who we're wrestling against in this darkness, against the power, the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. That's who we're fighting against. But He says we don't have to worry about it. He's got an armor that will protect us. And like I said earlier, we need to be familiar with this. This army that He's given us. This armor that He's given us. He says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day. And having done all to stand firm, stand. So He tells us several times to stand. He tells us several times to, or multiple times, to put on the whole armor of God. And having done all, stand. Stand therefore, having fastening on the belt of truth. And I looked at this week a little bit different than I ever had. I know that it's the belt. It was the part of a Roman's armor that held everything together. They fastened everything onto that armor. And we know that the truth of God, you can look at it two ways. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So we can relate this to Jesus. He is that truth that everything else hinges on. We have to have Him above all else. But it also refers to the truth being the Word of God. If we're going to go into battle, the main thing that we have to have centered around us, tied up everything. As I was reading this week, it says they would take the belt and they would gird up. They would pull in all the loose ends so that they were ready for battle. They would take, if they had on a long garment, and they would take and they would tuck it around the belt so that it would not trip them when they took off running. Or if there was something that would hinder them in any way, they would tuck it into the belt. So anything that would hinder us, and you can read this somewhere else in the Scripture, anything that hinders you, you need to tuck it away. You need to get rid of anything that hinders you. And the only place to tuck that away, to get rid of what hinders you, is in Jesus. You surrender that to Him. Everything that hinders us, all the loose ends that keep me from doing everything that He calls me to do when I go into battle, when I'm ready to stand, anything that would keep me from doing what He calls me to do, I need to give to Him and tuck it away in the belt. Next is that it tells us that after we put on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, we know that righteousness comes from Jesus Christ. And you see all of those times, if you've seen movies and somebody's standing there and they're putting on armor, have you ever seen anybody put on their own breastplate? Doesn't happen. The breastplate is where? It's only in the front. It's not made in the back. It's only in the front, and it's always put on by somebody else. That's key, because you and I cannot put on our own breastplate of righteousness. Only Jesus Christ can put that on. And so again, it connects back to the truth. Your breastplate, your righteousness, all hinges on Jesus. It goes back to Jesus. He is the one that puts it on us. It goes on to say, and the shoes of your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Now, this one is one of those that commentaries vary on. But I heard something or read something this week that I hadn't looked at in the past, but I see it and I like it. It said, the shoes for the preparation of the gospel of peace, Roman soldiers, their boots would have nails in the bottom of them. Those nails would give them a way to stand where they could get traction anytime. That's what the Roman soldiers' boots would be. Now, if I was going to be running after my enemy, I'm probably not going to have nails in my boots. So that one that is, those guys that are to set back and to guard and maybe to balance against something and press up against something and fight and hold that shield would have nails in the bottom of their boots so that they could stand and not be moved. And the good news that we have through the gospel of Jesus Christ makes me at peace to stand wherever I'm at. I don't have to worry about what is going to push against me because I have the gospel of Jesus Christ in my life. I have the peace that connects me to Him through the gospel. And in that, I can stand. He's put me on a solid rock, and that solid rock is Jesus. And nothing can push me off of Jesus. Nothing is going to get me away. I have my shoes of the gospel of peace at a point to where I am standing in peace. And that comes from Jesus. The other way they look at this, at this part of the passage, is to say that you are ready to proclaim the gospel that brings peace to other people. And I agree we should be ready all the time. I agree that, you know, we need to, in that time of battle, be able to share with people that peace is there. Why are you at peace in this battle? Because I have the gospel of Jesus Christ in my life, and I want to share that with you and be able to share that as well. So ready to proclaim that gospel, or so sure that you have that good news in your life because of Jesus Christ, it all connects back to the belt, the truth of God, which is Jesus. Then he goes on, excuse me, he says, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish the flaming darts of the evil one. A lot of times they would take the shield and they would just hang it on their back. Or they might even have, like Goliath did, he had a shield bearer, somebody that carried it along, and if he needed it, then he would take it from him. But they would have it to where they could strap it over their shoulder and hang it on their back as they carried it into battle. But he's saying here, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. In other words, you have to have that faith all the time. You have to know that the faith that you're going to have, and there, and this type of a shield, if you take the Greek words, it was a full body shield. It wasn't like a little bitty, you know, shield that they would take and hold up here so somebody didn't hit them with the sword. It was a full body shield that they could hide behind if arrows were coming. And so they could stick that bottom in the ground and they could just stand behind it, and they knew his full body was protected. And that was their faith. And it says, above all, in all circumstances, always have that shield of faith. Because it could do what? It says it could extinguish all the flaming darts from the evil one. So these arrows, these darts from Satan, they are temptations. They are things that are going to attack you, to just hit you in any way. But the shield that they would have would be a leather, oil-treated shield. So when those arrows hit it, that oil would catch on fire, but it would extinguish. That leather had been treated in such a way that it wouldn't catch on fire. And so they would be able to extinguish the arrows. It wouldn't allow an arrow that had stuck in there to catch on fire and harm you. It would extinguish it. And so that's what he's telling us. And so my faith that needs to be full, not just a partial faith, a full-time faith, a continual trust in God's Word is necessary all the time. And that's only going to happen if my connection with Jesus is on a daily basis. So it goes back to even my shield is connected spiritually to the truth, to Jesus. When I fail to trust God, His Word and His promises, and I drop that shield or I step out of that shield, then that's when those fiery darts can hit me, and that's when that temptation is there and I fall to that temptation. So that's why he says, in all circumstances, or above all, take up that shield. He goes on, he says, take the helmet of salvation. Now, he's not talking to lost people here. He's talking to Christians. He's talking to believers in this case. And so that's why when I begin to pray over this for tonight, I thought, I'm talking to believers here to take up the helmet of salvation. Well, that's not saying that you need to be saved, because you guys are saved already. So what's he talking about here if he's saying take up the helmet of salvation when he's already talking to people that are probably saved? Well, the head was the main target. And when you've already been saved, what does Satan want to attack? Your mind. I know I'm saved. And if I know I'm saved, then those attacks from Satan on my mind about my salvation, about the assurance of my salvation, they don't stand a chance. But there are so many people out there today that think you can lose your salvation, or maybe they're not sure they're saved. And that's those people that need to take the helmet of salvation, the assurance of salvation. And I looked up several different verses this week that are all talking about the assurance of salvation, and salvation is eternal. John 6:37 and following. John 10:28-29. Romans 5:10. Romans 8:31. Philippians 1:6. 1 Peter 1:3-5. There are so many others that tell us that our salvation is based in Jesus. It's not based in how good Steve is, because if it was based in how good Steve is, it would be gone. It would not be there. It would not be eternal salvation if it was something that was based on me. And so as he tells them to put on that helmet of salvation, he's not saying you can take it on and take it off as far as being saved. He's saying, understand that Satan's going to attack how you feel about your salvation. He's going to give you doubts. He's going to give you discouragement. I don't know how many times I've had people come up to me, and I may have shared this before. How do I know that I'm saved? Or, man, I'm just really not sure. You know, there you can go to 1 John, and it will tell you over and over, this is how you know you're saved. But Satan is going to continue to attack you for one reason or another, in one way or another, that are all by feelings. And my feelings about my salvation are a lot like my daily life. I can get up in the morning and I can have all kinds of energy. And as I go through the day, my knees begin to hurt. My back begins to hurt. I get tired and groggy. I probably get really irritable if you wanted to ask. But I'm still me. It's just life has attacked me. And sometimes, as Christians, we need to understand that when I come out of a Sunday morning praise time, man, I am ready to go. But if it's Tuesday afternoon and I get a phone call and it's something that's terrible and it just feels like the weight of the world has just been dropped on somebody and I can't do anything about it, my emotions make me feel like I'm 10,000 miles away from God. But I'm not. But that's how Satan attacks us. He wants to attack our mind. And so he's saying here, put on the helmet of salvation because you know that you know that you know you've been saved. Security is a fact that's found in Scripture. He goes on to tell us, after taking the helmet of salvation, he says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is God's Word. When you take the Greek word in here, it's actually talking about a small sword. It's not talking about a big sword. It's somewhere from between a 6 to an 18-inch sword that was used in two ways. One, it was used in defense, but one, it was also used offensively. Now, I know this is the only offensive weapon. I've heard that all my life. The sword of the Spirit is the only offensive weapon, the only offensive weapon. But that same thing that is an offensive weapon, if you've ever seen a sword fight, is it just an offensive weapon? No. The biggest part of the time, except for maybe one stroke, it's a defensive weapon. I'm using it to block somebody else. I'm using it to keep somebody else's attacks from hitting me. And then when I get a chance, then I can use it as an offensive weapon. But I have to understand that it is a defensive weapon as well. Because look what Jesus did when Satan began to tempt him. He used it as a defensive weapon. You're not supposed to tempt the Lord your God. Man, that was a defensive block right there to Satan's attack. We are supposed to be so familiar with it that when we are attacked by Satan with whatever it happens to be, maybe it's a shot at our helmet, we block it because I know that John 10:28 says, I give you eternal life and you shall never perish. No one can snatch you from my hands. Block that blow. And that's what we have to do. We have to be so familiar with it because it is God's Word. And yes, it's the only needed offensive weapon, and there are times when I need to use that to say, Satan, I'm blocking your blow, but you take this one. Jesus died for me. And you fight back in that way. So it's an offensive weapon and a defensive weapon, and we need to be familiar with it. If we go into battle and we have any part of this weapon, this armor, not there, then we do not have on the whole armor of God. And so it tells us that as we put on this whole armor, from the shoes up to the helmet, to the shield, to the sword, he goes on and he tells us something else that kind of puts it all together. He says, after we take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying. And if we break down this verse, it says, praying at all times. And we're supposed to pray frequently. Now, says pray without ceasing. Can we do that? I think our heart can, our mind can, but we're not going to be down on our knees constantly, and we're not going. But we are to pray continually, frequently. It says here, at all times, praying at all times, and then praying at all times in the Spirit. It tells us over and over to not just to pray what I want, but pray in submission to what the Spirit wants, according to the will of God. He goes on, he says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. We're supposed to be at all times being watchful. In what manner? We're supposed to pray in supplication. We're supposed to that end, keep alert with all perseverance. How? Persistently, all the time. Comes back again. Starts off that way and comes back around. Pray all times. Pray with all perseverance. Don't give up. Making supplication for all the saints. For who? For everybody. There are so many things. Pray always. Pray in the Spirit. Pray watchful. Pray with perseverance. Pray for all the saints. And he ends it here. He says, and also for me, that the words may be given to me in the opening of my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. Let me finish the verse. For which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. I want to finish on this one part here because I think it's very important. In that verse 19, the end of it, it says, and also for me in my words that may be given to me in the opening of my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. The gospel is a mystery to so many people out there. You know, we talk about that all the time. How can people sit and hear the Word of God and then walk out those doors and do nothing about it? How can they live through a life knowing that people tell me there's an answer, but I'm not going to go listen to it. I'm not going to go accept it. I don't want to take a chance that it might be right. Why would I not listen to them? Why would I not go? Because to me, it's a mystery. The gospel is veiled to those that are perishing. The Bible tells us that a couple times. Paul is saying here, pray that as I have the opportunity to proclaim that mystery of the gospel. And I want to share that mystery of the gospel to people so there's no longer a mystery. The attitude in how we pray is as much a part of that armor as those shoes, as those shields, as that helmet, as that sword. But it all comes back down to where it's all tied to that truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. My attitude for sharing the gospel comes by my connection with Jesus. My salvation, my righteousness, my understanding of the Word of God, my steadiness in the gospel. Everything I have has to be connected 100% with my relationship to Jesus. And I can be familiar with all of those things, but still understand that as I'm getting ready to face an attack tomorrow, you're getting ready to face an attack tomorrow. When you go out into the world, Satan is ready to attack you. Be familiar and understand that the armor of God is there for a reason, and you need to be familiar with all of it. You need to be familiar, and not only be familiar with it, but he says, put it on. And it would be something if David said, I'm going to go out and fight Goliath, and I'm familiar with a sling and stones, and I've used a staff to fight these bears and lions before. And God has given me the power, but I'm just going to go out there and face Goliath with my bare hands. It wouldn't make very much sense to be familiar with something and then not take it into battle. not put it on, not apply it to who, to my battle that I'm supposed to stand. Now, I'm not saying, like I said, that we're going to run out into the world tomorrow, you know, Bible in hand and try to attack Satan. That's not the way it works. I'm supposed to go out and share the gospel, that mystery of the gospel with people. But I need to understand that when the attack comes, I stand on Jesus. That's what I've got to do. I've got to be secure enough in my faith to be able to stand and fight off the temptations he throws at me, the attacks he throws at me, the ideas of insecurity that he throws at me. All of that can be tucked in and lost in the belt of truth. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for all that you do. And Lord, in your word that we read tonight, it all hinges on our relationship with you. Lord, I thank you and I praise you for that opportunity. Lord, give us the strength to stand. In your name I pray.